First of all, thank you to my pastor for including me in this series. And thank you for giving me this sermon title and this opportunity to actually start this sermon series. And so, first of all, I just want to begin by saying that the book of Romans, the third chapter, it begins with, the first verse begins with, so what advantage does a Jew have? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? In this book of Romans, we have Paul, the ambassador to the Gentiles, the one that took the gospel into the Gentile regions and preached the gospel, making a statement about what is the advantage of being a Jew or the benefit of circumcision. Now, this portion of scripture that I'm preaching from is called Romans Row. We know it as Romans Row, and usually we hear it at the end of preaching where somebody comes up to receive the Lord, and we'll give some verses from Romans, and we accept them into church. But I want to just, for a minute, take a moment to talk about what this subject is actually, or what the background to this subject is. Mm-hmm. And that is, you have Gentiles, believers, coming into the church, and you have a discrepancy among some that says that that to be God's children or to be God's chosen, that you that you would have to be a Jew, to be circumcised, to be saved. And as I was reading this, I was thinking about how, you know, actually today we still have the same problem. There are a lot of different religions out there. There's a lot of different ideas. There's a smorgasbord of beliefs to choose from, to cater to your every appetite. But Paul goes on to say, to the Jews were committed to oracles of God, and the oracles of God being the law, the oracles of God being the holy days, the Sabbath, dietary restrictions, the Ten Commandments. All these things were committed to the Jews, and now the Gentiles are coming into the belief. And so Paul is wanting to clear up the requirements or the doctrine of salvation, give us a doctrine of salvation. And what he's saying here is that you don't have to be a Jew to be saved. And why would that be important today? Because there are those that are preaching and teaching that that they are the original Hebrews, and making it a race or flesh as a requirement for salvation. And there are those that believe in dietary restrictions. And I know I've worked with and I've been around people that believe in observing and keeping the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And so these things still exist today. But what we want to understand is Paul sets straight what the requirement for salvation is. Whom God has set forth, Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of that are passed through the forbearance of God. And the word propitiation means to appease and to satisfy the requirements of God. A requirement to appease God's wrath. Jesus' death on the cross satisfied the wrath of God. Mm-hmm. Now, that's very important. It's very important because there's only one person that was able to satisfy and to appease the wrath of God, mm-hmm. and that was Jesus Christ.
Right.
Jesus Christ being fully man and being fully God, right. reconciled within himself the breach that was between God and man. And so that made him the way, the truth, and the light. Mm-hmm. Jesus said himself, only way to the Father is but by me.
Yeah.
Right. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commanded his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Right. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but I know that I've fallen short the glory of God.
Yeah.
All have sinned. There is none righteous. Uh-huh. What then? Are we better than they? No. In no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none gone out of, they are all gone out of the way. Mm-hmm. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. In their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, mm-hmm. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Mm-hmm. Destruction and misery are in their way. In a place of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, mm-hmm. and that every mouth may be stopped and every world may become guilty before God. I just want to just go talk about this little list right here in Romans where it talks about their feet are swift to shed blood. Mm. If you look at what's going on in the world today and you look at the way people are treating people, mm-hmm. One country against another, one person against another, mm-hmm. all the murders and the deaths that are going on right now. If you just look at the nature of man, you can see what it's saying here. Their feet are swift to shed blood. You know, I was working with some mechanics, and they like to race. And so they were into NASCAR. And so they asked me if I had watched NASCAR, and I said, yeah, but it was real boring. I said, well, how do y'all sit through all that? He says, they waiting on the crash. Mm. You know, the stands are full at NASCAR. A lot of people are spending money and drunkenness and all that, and they waiting on the crash. Mm. Right. The Bible says their feet are swift to shed blood. Mm. You know, right now, when we look at what's going on in the Middle East, mm-hmm. there is like no end in sight,
right.
to the death and the violence that people are doing against each other.
Right.
But that's the nature of man. Huh. They do not know God. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is they all profess to know God.
Yeah.
One has one religion and one has another religion. And neither one of them are following their religion. For all have sinned and fall, come short the glory of God. We've all fallen short. We've all fallen short. And we've all sinned. Therefore, we all deserve hell. You know, but for the grace of a merciful God, we are able to escape hell through the person of Jesus Christ. So we can spend eternity with God rather than spend an eternity in hell. These verses of scriptures are still relevant today. They were written because all the false religions of that day still exist today. And their people are still claiming to be saved according to the flesh.
Yeah.
Since the fall of man in the garden, there's existed a chasm between God and man, a separation. You might say that what we have to do, you might say what that have to do with us. Well, Romans 5 and 12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all have sinned. Because the human race all came through Adam and all sinned through Adam. Now, I know that sometimes we have this, especially before we come to God and come to an understanding of saving grace and to knowledge of saving grace, we all say, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. And you know, that's because you don't know right and wrong. When you learn the difference between right and wrong, between the righteousness of God and the righteousness of man, we all go back and find that we have done wrong and we still do wrong.
Yeah. Right.
And we all are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And it says the wages of sin is death. Yes. But the gift of God is eternal life.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, a price that we are unable to pay. So God paid on our behalf, purchased us back from the devil. God redeemed us because we were already his. And he bought us back. It's just like if you were to pawn something and then purchase it back. That's to redeem something. And so man already belonged to God. But when we fell into sin, we had to be bought back, and a price had to be paid. Jesus is the only one qualified to pay that price.
Right. Right.
Romans 10 and 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yeah.
That's the verse that I was repeated behind the minister when I came to God. And a lot of us have came to join a church and have these scriptures quoted before us. We often get caught up in wanting to understand what God is doing. Romans 9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you confessed him with your mouth? And do you believe him in your heart that God raised him from the dead? You see, it don't matter if we understand it or not. What the scripture says that if we confess... and if we believe. And so what matters is that we believe.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things about God that we will never understand. But we must believe. Mm-hmm. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
Whosoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know who whosoever is?
Me.
Whosoever.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And thank God that we're not required to bring anything to the table. Because we have nothing to bring.
Right.
I heard the preacher say, I came to him weary, wounded, and sad.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we come to him.
Yeah.
With nothing to offer. And we, you know, throw ourselves on the mercy of the court. Praying that he would save us and deliver us from this body of flesh.
Yeah.
Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not just a cliche or word that we use
right.
and throw around here.
Right.
Our belief in our Bible and our teachings are that of God himself enacting upon us in a supernatural way and saving us from a peril that we have no way of saving ourselves from. It wasn't that we were searching him, but he himself commanded his love toward us and drew us to him to himself, and we responded to his prompting, and we came to come to understand that we had to. To give up our ways and accept his ways in order that he can save us.
Yeah.
And so none can boast of their salvation.
Uh-huh.
We can only boast in Christ.
Uh-huh.
And so thank God for Jesus and thank God for his work in salvation. Because without him, I know I would be lost.
Yeah.
I know that we would all be lost.
Yeah.
Because he's the way, the truth, and the light.
Yeah.
And so we might come and say, I remember saying, when I get myself together, I'm going to go to church.
Yeah.
And a lot of you all know Reverend Green. And he would say, are you going to church? I said, when I get myself together, I'm going to church.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't wait for that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get yourself together.
Right.
You know, you have to come to God and let him get you together and let him clean you up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I love this song that one of the musicians sing. It says, won't he make you clean? It's a simple song. It's just, he'll make you clean,
inside.
You know. And, you know, he'll make you clean in the inside where you can't
right.
touch by hand,
right.
where you can't wash.
Uh-huh.
He'll wash you clean. He'll wash you clean as white as snow.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jesus took on our sin. And he was tried before Pilate. Herod, he was sent back and forth from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was made to carry his own cross to a hill called Golgotha, where he was hung between two thieves, where he hung his head and died. They pierced him in the side to make sure that he was truly dead, and the blood came streaming down. Amen. They know not what they do. Forgive them. Lord, forgive them. We thank you. We thank God for what he's done for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.